Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Good people, tonight I want us to look in regard to the 23rd Psalm in a lesson that is entitled, The Lord is My Shepherd. As we think about the way in which God speaks to us, it's interesting as you consider the ways in which God communicates to mankind is that God speaks in a very direct way through His Word, and in speaking to us, God speaks in a very simplistic manner. In fact, as you consider the words of Christ, two-thirds of the words of Jesus are single-syllable words. Why is that? Good people, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 33 that God is not the author of confusion. God wants man to understand what it is that He says to us. As we consider the way in which God speaks to us, sometimes God uses similes. What is a simile? A simile is a figure speech that expresses a resemblance between things that are of different kinds, and usually it is formed with like or as, and as you consider the book of Revelation, you will find that type of terminology used time and again. Other times, God employs metaphors. A metaphor is a figure of speech in which an expression is used to refer to something that it does not literally denote or represent. And in this, it suggests similarities. In the 23rd Psalm, God speaks to us metaphorically, giving us a metaphorical picture of the sustaining relationship that the shepherd, the Lord, has with His sheep, that is, those who are His children. As we look into the context of Psalms 23, good people, we understand is that we're dealing with a very special terminology as well as a relationship that the Lord expresses in regard to Him and His people. Because of its popularity and sweet spirit, the 23rd Psalm is referred to by many as the Pearl of the Psalms. It is a beautiful song of confidence and trust, as well as satisfaction in Yahweh. And as we consider the narrative, we come to an understanding that it is about one man and his life with God. 17 times he uses himself. He refers to himself. 13 times he speaks in reference to the Lord. And as he goes through and identifies his relationship with our God, he praises God for His goodness. He is totally amazed at God, the love that God has for him and for all of humanity, as well as the divine care, the providential care that God has demonstrated for him. And he concludes by identifying that an unwavering fellowship with God offers unto him a peace that is within, a peace that will help to demonstrate his life and his relationship with God continually throughout the time of his life here. Good people, as we read concerning the 23rd Psalm, the psalmist begins by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And in saying that the Lord is his shepherd, David declares that he has a personal relationship with God. How is it that David was able to acquire and to maintain a personal relationship with our God? Good people, this requires submitting to God. David understood the necessity of understanding God, of knowing God, and then therefore surrendering his will and submitting to the will of God. And those who want a personal relationship with our God today, in like figure, needs to know God. And the way in which we come to an understanding and knowledge of God and His will is through reading and studying the New Testament Scripture and then placing our will to the side and submitting ourselves over to the will of God. But yet in like figure, a relationship with God requires us to walk according to the ways of God. Good people, we walk throughout the entirety of our life in order for us to maintain this relationship with God. And if we truly have the relationship with God, I believe that we will engage in speaking to God in a sense the way in which David did. David was constantly turning to God and praying to God and praising God, and you and I need to speak to God in the way in which He commands us to speak into Him, and that's going to Him in prayer. Realizing that prayer is indeed how we access God today, and we need to certainly pray without ceasing, speaking to God and realizing what it is that we have as children of God. You see, I contend tonight that David understood, and Christians need to understand that having a personal relationship with God requires us to enjoy God. To enjoy God as our Creator. To enjoy God as God, who He is, eternal in His nature, in all of His existence, and as our Heavenly Father. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And then he goes on to say, "I shall not want." Well, what is it that David is declaring here as he states, "I shall not want"? In this statement, good people, I believe that he is identifying divine care as well as the Christian serenity. God has always provided for His creation. We understand, as Jesus Himself taught in the book of Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and following, that God has supplied for the birds of the air, that God even supplies for the lilies of the field. And God tells man that we are not to be anxious for anything, that we ought not to worry about anything. Why? Because God looks out upon us and we are special in the sight of God. If God cares for the birds of the air, if God provides for the lilies of the field, if God supplies for everything in His creation, man certainly is the pinnacle of that creation. We have been created after the very image of God. God has placed within each and every one of us a soul that will dwell within us while we're here, and ultimately will stand before Him in judgment. And God promises us that we too shall have all of our needs met in life. God supplies every good thing that we have in our life. He supplies life. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living being or a living soul. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. And God continued from that point forward, even into this very day, to supply our food, shelter, and clothing, and even a means of salvation for us. And good people, God expects the Christian then to have the same type of an attitude as what David, I believe, expressed here in saying, "I shall not want." You and I are to find contentment with God. As we look in regard to what it is that David has stated here, "I shall not want," literally from the Hebrew language, he is saying, "I will not lack for anything." Well, what is it that he's saying? He says, God is our sufficiency. And therefore, with the things that God places into our lives, the blessings that God bestows upon us, we learn to be content with those things, realizing that really those things that matter most, and above all, is our relationship with God and the eternal life that God has prepared for us beyond this life in heaven. What is it that God is willing to do for His sheep? David went on to say, he says, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." By saying this, what is it that David is identifying concerning God? Good people, he is showing us the divine comfort and the true peace that man can have. God offers peace for the weary. He leads them to a luscious feeding area throughout the entirety of our life. God is there for us. And then He offers rest for those who are tired and weary. And we realize this also in the New Testament Scripture, where Jesus says in the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Yes, God not only offers us rest, He reveals the way that you and I can have safety, not necessarily safety as we would think of it from a world standpoint, but safety whenever it comes to our soul. He is looking out for us. He provides through His inspired Word the direction that you and I need to understand, the path that we must see and must follow in order for us to have the relationship with God. And the Lord brings forth peace within. Why? Why is it that David felt peace within? Why is it that David felt comfortable with God and knew that God was always going to be there for him? Good people, because David had a very true, real relationship with God. And those who are Christians who have what David experienced knows exactly what it is that I'm saying, a peace that is within. To know that we have been forgiven of our sin. And to know that based out of the fact that we have been forgiven of our sin, that we are no longer accountable for God for past sin. And therefore, good people, that brings within us a peace that surpasses all understanding. And how is it that this peace is acquired? This peace is brought forth through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Shepherd, the true Shepherd that leads us down the paths of righteousness. In all, David went on to say, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. By stating this, I believe that David is declaring how he experienced the divine forgiveness and guidance in his life. He causes life to return to me. That's literally what David is saying. And it also could be said, He returns my soul to me. Well, what's he identifying? He gives his children reassurance in life. Because of their relationship with Him, whenever things are uncertain, He revives them whenever they're beaten down. He is there to lift them up whenever the world discourages them. And God not only promised that restoration of the soul unto Him, but good people, He promises that to you and me as Christians, and He offers direction not according to God, or not according to the ways of the world, but rather according to godliness, according to a way that will please Him, according to a way that certainly is far more superior than any path that we might want or think we want to go in this world. He leads us in a direction of godliness. And by the fact of what David said, He leads me in paths of righteousness. I believe he's identifying there is that God will never mislead or betray those who belong unto Him. Good people, the Bible in the New Testament Scripture reveals unto us is that it's impossible for God to lie. Why is it impossible for God to lie? Because God is Spirit, first and above all, and He is God, He is eternal. And in all we see is that God is holy and righteous in all of His ways. He is upright. He will do no wrong because He can do no wrong. And therefore, that ought to bring us assurance in our life. It ought to bring us great comfort also throughout the course of our life and relationship with God to know that no matter where He sends us, no matter what He says unto us, it's going to be the right path and the right way for us, in order for us to maintain our life with Him. David goes on then to say, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. In this, I believe that David is asserting that God is there to help us through the difficult times in life. Trials are certainly associated with life here. And as Christians, God tells us, I believe through the words of David, that we should never fear evil. Why should the Christian never fear evil? Why should the Christian never really fear anything in regard to this physical world? Because God knows what it is that we're going through. God is constantly attuned to the things that we face in life. And not only does He know, good people, the Bible makes it very clear that God cares about us. He did not just create us and place us here and step away, but rather God is actively involved in our lives. He is very much aware of the things that we face in and throughout the course of our life. And then two, God is with us. He's there with us and for us. And God wants to see His people prevail. He wants us to go through the trials. He wants us to come through the storm. And God says that He is able and that He is constantly working each and every day, every moment throughout the course of each day to deliver us. To deliver us in a way so that we will understand the significance of living our lives for Him. To deliver us in such a way so that we will make the right choice. It is indeed our choice. But so that we will make those right choices to where when we stand before Him in judgment, that we shall have lived our lives faithful before Him. David then says through the 23rd Psalm, he says, You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint me with oil. My cup runs over. in this, I believe that David is identifying for the readers even into this very day concerning the divine blessings of God and how abundant they are. God provides a banquet of blessings. There's more than what you and I are able to consume. The blessings of God are without end. The blessings of God are constantly there. And God shows favor and hospitality, I believe, is also in the context here. He shows favor to us. Why? Why does God show favor to the Christian? Because we're not like the world. We do believe in God. We do love God. We have expressed that love towards God through our initial obedience to God, through Christ in baptism, as Nikki did tonight. And then as we live our lives faithful before God, you see, God counts us as one of His children. And because of that, then, we have God's favor and His hospitality. And therefore, God supplies for His people in a very special way. And of course, as we connect this with our relationship with God, it would be through the spiritual blessings as is identified by the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and following, and other places in the New Testament Scripture. And what do we learn in regard to the blessings that God bestows upon us? Good people, God is not a stingy host. He's always there to give us, as we've already asserted, more than those things that we need, if we will but look to Him and trust Him, as David learned, I believe, to do throughout the course of his life. And then David closes in these words and saying, "Surely goodness, mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." By stating these words, good people, I believe that David is declaring the divine promises that God makes unto mankind throughout the course of our time here. God's blessings will not cease, is what he's saying. Well, what's he mean by revealing that God's blessings will not cease? He says, what you have experienced with God up until this present age or time, he says, you can continue to expect the same with God. God does not change. He offers His goodness. Well, what's under consideration there whenever He says that He gives unto David and unto His children goodness? God's going to make certain that the things that we need in life for the sustaining of life, they're there. It doesn't mean that we're always going to live in comfort, but it means that we're going to have the things that we need as long as we're willing to do our parts. But He says, also mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. The mercy that God extends unto mankind, good people, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the way in which God extends His mercy is getting what we do not deserve. Yet at the same time, there's a responsibility upon the part of those who are the recipients of God's mercy. We must walk as the children of God in order to continue to receive His love. And as a result then of receiving His love and His mercy, His love motivates the Christian. It motivated David to live his life for God. And it should motivate you and me today to live our life for God no matter what, until the very end, so that we have lived our lives faithful to God as His children. What a beautiful psalm through the words of David, by way of inspiration. And the relationship that God wants with His people, and the relationship that David shared and that you and I can share, and many of us do share, as we seek to live our lives in a way that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. So tonight, I want to close by asking you the question, is the Lord your shepherd? Have you given your life over to Christ in baptism? Have you confessed Jesus to be the Son of the living God and submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin? If you have not, then the Lord is not your shepherd. But He wants so much to gather you unto Himself and to lead you down the paths of righteousness, to lead you as He seeks to lead His people who have obeyed Him in baptism.